UWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merge 295. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Did we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there. Same airplanes.
And it is such. Bob, I swear to God, four calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty. Four calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to the show. How are you all this week? I'm Nick Hunter and this is the UFO Chronicles podcast. We start off tonight with Skeet in Tennessee sharing her sighting of a classic saucer-shaped UFO and other strange goings-on in the northeast end of the state. Then making our way to Ohio to hear about Brandon's experiences, which started with a sighting at just age 6 years old. If you enjoy listening to the podcast and would like to help support my work, there is a couple of ways to do this. Either you can join Patreon and become a patron of the show for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate via PayPal, and if you like, you can set up monthly reoccurring payments. All links to support the podcast are below in the show notes and on the website. Any help is extremely appreciated, and it helps the show to continue running. Now, on with the show. Skeet, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Nick. Thank you for having me.
You are more than welcome. Thank you for joining us today, and you're calling from the state of Tennessee.
Yes, up in the northeast corner.
Now, Skeet, you have a UFO sighting to share. Would you like to start at the beginning, please, ma'am?
Yes, I sure would. So it was February the 14th, 2013, and that was Valentine's Day. And we had went out to dinner that evening. And we were on our way home. We lived in Blountville at the time, and we went to Kingsport to eat. And as we were coming home, this would have been a little after 7. On the left-hand side of the highway that we were on is a Lowe's store. And on the right-hand side, there is a ridge that runs all along that side of the road. And my partner was talking, and I looked over to the ridge, and I see, well, at first I thought it was like Christmas lights. Someone still had their Christmas lights on, and it being Valentine's Day. And I kept looking, and I was like, huh, that's strange. And I kept thinking, well, it looks like it's moving. So I found a fixed point, and I stared at it, and I watched as the lights went by. I thought, well, that's unusual. And then I started thinking, well, as low as it is, because it wasn't on the top of the ridge, it was more towards the middle of the ridge, you know, middle ways down. And I thought, well, it's got to be a helicopter. And I couldn't hear anything, but, you know, we had some music playing in the car and the windows were rolled up. So my better half was getting a little bit annoyed with me because I was not paying attention. Instead, I'm saying, is that a helicopter? Is it Christmas lights? What is that? So we continue on, and this gets up ahead of us, and I couldn't see it anymore. And I'm still thinking, you know, it's a helicopter. But the thing about it was, I just kept thinking, there were too many colored lights, too many multicolored lights. So as we are going along 11W and we get away from the city lights, so to speak, and where it's more rural, we hit onto a long straight stretch. And as soon as we started onto it, at the very end of that stretch, it crossed in front of the highway. And I still couldn't tell what the shape of the craft was. And my partner saw it and said, "Oh, is that what you were talking about?" And I said, "Yes." I said, "It's weird though." And she said, "It's got green lights on it. You don't normally see green lights, you know, on a helicopter." And there were just, it was like multicolored lights, and it crossed over and again, it disappeared as we continue on the road. And now we're getting closer to our home, and we were right around where the IBEW building is, and we're starting up the hill, and we're going to be hanging a right onto Market. And that's when we see it coming over the treetops is a saucer. It is the basic look of it would be a plate with a bowl turned upside down on top of it. The bottom was spinning, and it had all the colors, orange, yellow, red, blue, green, and white. And the bottom is just rotating with these lights. The dome itself had portals, and the portals were, we could see two very well. And then there was one on the left side and one on the right side. Now, it was static, so the dome was not moving. But the light coming from the portals was very bright, and it was white. It glides over the treetops. And at that point in time, it's basically going right over where we're going to be turning. My partner just accelerated. We took the turn, and honestly, I said, "I believe you had that SUV on two wheels." But as we start on to Market, we should be able to see it. And there's nothing. It's just nowhere. And I've got my head, you know, I rolled the window down. I'm looking around everywhere trying to locate this saucer. There is a field where they have cattle, and then other times they'll have sheep there. So we drove towards that field and drove up the road along the side of it, thinking maybe it had landed. And it was just nowhere. We couldn't find it anywhere. So we went home, and it was cold, but I went out into the field behind our house just to see with a flashlight, see if it could possibly be back there, thinking maybe this thing had landed, because there were only, I would say, maybe 7 seconds from where we lost sight of it before we got to Market and turned onto that road. So that was very strange. And we told our neighbor over the weekend, I think it was on a Thursday. Valentine's Day was on a Thursday that year. So over the weekend, we told our neighbor what we had seen. And the following week, I worked from home, and she called me and she said, "Are you working?" I said, "Yes." She said, "I'm down here at the flea market, and there is something really weird going on." And I said, "What?" And she said, "You're going to hear it in just a moment." She said, "You need to go outside." She said, "I think that the military might be looking for your little flying friends." And I said, "What?" And I went outside into the driveway, and I could hear in the distance, military sounding helicopters, big ones. And so I stood there, and I see there are two. I went online to look up to see what the closest style of helicopter was. And the Black Hawk was really the one that came the closest to how these looked. They were completely black. They were totally, there was no markings on them whatsoever. Because I did go get my binoculars, and I watched them with my binoculars. They were coming in the same path as where the craft had came from. And they're doing these large sweeping circles. And I remember that as they got closer and they flew over several times, because again, like I said, big sweeping circles, I could hear like our windows were rattling in the house and the door. It was such a strong vibration. And they continued going around and around, and they followed what I would think the path was that the saucer may have taken. I don't know for sure, because like I said, we lost sight of it. But this happened. I could hear them for, I would say, around 30 minutes. So again, like I said, just a strange thing that, you know, these showed up just days after the saucer went over. While we lived in that particular home, we saw a lot of strange lights. We had things, we had a fire pit out back,
And we had friends and family that would, you know, see things along with us. We have what we called them ghost lights. It reminded me of someone shooting a Roman candle and how the little fireball would go out, but they would stay lit. And the first time I saw it, I thought maybe that's what it was. It was a Roman candle, but the light stayed on. But it just kind of bobbled around. Those were orange in color, and occasionally there would be some that were more yellow in color. And then they would just blink out and just disappear. Another instance, I was talking to a friend on the phone, and it was dusk, and I looked at what I thought was a star, but it was very, very bright. And I thought, well, it's the first star of the evening, and then I kept looking, and I'm like, that's really, really bright. And all of a sudden, it just took off. It started flying south so fast, and then it banked and went west, I mean, in such a fashion that I'm sure we might have things that could do that, but I'm not aware of it. So that was very unusual as well. So other times, like I said, just floating lights, strange things moving in odd patterns. And once we moved into Kingsport, I guess this was last year, actually, probably the biggest thing that we've had happen here. It was May the 11th of 2022. And we had been downtown, and we were coming home that evening, and I saw what I thought was a helicopter light. And because of the way that it was positioned, you know, it was very bright. And my partner said, is that a helicopter flying towards us? I said, it must be. Suddenly, we noticed that there are this little orange light, kind of like the ghost lights that I referred to, flying around it. There's one on the right, there's one on the left, and then they go, one of them, the one on the left, went actually into the brighter light. And then it was just gone for a little while. The other one just kind of bobbled around to the side of it. So we lost sight of that, and when we got home, I ran into the house and grabbed my binoculars and went onto the back deck. And I was able to watch it for about 45 seconds, maybe to a whole minute. And I zoomed up, like I said, with the binoculars, and I noticed that the best way I can describe it is the bright light. It's like it would be round one moment, and then it would be flat, but you could still see light. So it was very strange. And the little orange light, again, like I said, there was only one at that time when I saw it from home. It was just kind of bobbling around beside of it. So I really couldn't tell shape or anything like that. I sent a message to a friend of mine, and he knows our schoolmate. She lives down that way. He had her number, and he called her and said, you know, hey, he just saw something. Can you go outside and see if you see what she's seeing? And she actually went out there and made some video recordings, and just very strange things. And there was lights, they would stay still, others were moving. She also brought up that we had some Apache helicopters go over earlier, and these were not helicopters, though. If they were, they were completely silent. She thought maybe it was some sort of a weird military exercise or something to that effect. But I asked her, I said, could you hear any sound? And she was like, nothing. And she was outside, like I said, where she could see them and zoom up on them. So not exactly sure what those were, but extremely interesting, because that very same night, if you look back into the news, you're going to see that a lot of East Tennesseans saw a strange light. There was one video made of it. They came back and said that it was a weather balloon, that the picture, and of course, the way that we had multiple lights, they were not anywhere near what a weather balloon would look like. So nothing that we saw reminded us of or would make you think of a weather balloon. But again, like I said, same night, lots of people saw that one. Not exactly sure what that was either. And yeah, so Nick, that's my two big incidents that I've had happen that just cannot explain. I can't explain it other than I just saw what I saw, and I'm not exactly sure who or what was manning those crafts that we saw.
So there's a lot going on up in the Northeast.
There really is. And, you know, when we lived in Blountville, I spent a lot more time outside and we had a lot more open space. So, you know, I was seeing a lot more, but I've talked to others and, you know, I'll get a message and they'll be like, hey, I'm up in Bristol and there's this weird light and it looks like it's headed your way, you know, and, you know, I'd go outside and I'd wait a little while and lo and behold, here, you know, it would be moving oddly. A lot of pulsating lights, not stars because they move. And I've got an app. I like to look and make sure it's not aircraft, right? Because now you can look up and, you know, you can look it up and you can say, oh, okay, that's a plane. Or, oh, you know, that's this, that, or the other. But there are a lot of strange lights that we get in this area.
And it's good that you network as well. So your friend up in Bristol then contacts you and vice versa. So it's good. So if you see something in the sky that's a few miles away, yeah, maybe get in contact with a friend and see if they can see it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we all know if you've seen strange lights and you've talked to others about it, there are even, I've got friends that are like, you know, I don't believe it until I see it. And then all of a sudden they're like, Skeet, I saw something I can't explain. And a lot of that happens, like I said, in this area, just those weird lights, things moving in manners that they're not supposed to be moving in. And just, you know, just odd things like that happen. I do want to mention also that after May 11th, it was on the 12th, it was the very next day. Again, we had military helicopters fly over. Now, this one gets a little bit more weird. And when I say weird, I have a pacemaker, okay? And when I have to go get my pacemaker checked once a year, and they do this test where they speed it up and they do one where it slows down. And when it slows down, you know, you're sitting there, you're in a medical room, but it feels almost like you're going to pass out or black out and your heart just gets real slow. And when the first helicopter went over, it was nothing. It was just very loud, house shaking. But when the second one came over, I was working and I was at my desk and all of a sudden I had that exact same feeling. Like my heart got real sluggish and I thought, I'm going to black out. And then the helicopter went past and all of a sudden, you know, my heart went back to normal and, you know, I could feel the blood pumping and rushing through and it gave me a little bit of a headache. I don't know what, I don't know if they had something, some sort of a tool that they were scanning with and it just happened to have affected my pacemaker. I can't say for sure, but I had a friend that said that, you know, that they do have technology where they can do these scans and it could possibly affect a pacemaker. So not exactly sure why it happened at that exact time, but it did happen. And it was a very weird and scary feeling.
Yeah, I bet that would be. And it wouldn't surprise me. Now, they do carry a lot of expensive, you know, kit and technology on some of these aircrafts. Geez, you know, if that was me, Skeet, I'd be on the phone to the nearest base. And I'd be like, here, listen, lads, can you not fly over my property?
Right. I don't know what you're looking for that you would need to have that type of a technology going. But
it sure isn't me.
Not me. No, I'm just sitting here working.
It could even be that their equipment could be actually picking up your pacemaker.
That's another thing. I know. And they also said that they have technology now where they can do flyovers and they can get the information like pictures and things like that off of your phone. Now, I don't know if that's real technology, but she sent me a website and she said, you know, check this out. And it looked like it might be legitimate. And I wondered if, you know, if that was what was happening, you know, because of what was seen the night before. And like I said, it was the night after the many East Tennesseans saw those strange lights.
Indeed. So if there's any listeners out there that live in Tennessee and you've seen these strange lights, get in contact. As we were saying at the very, before we went live, Skeet is the first guest I've had from Tennessee. So let's not make her the last.
Yes. So hopefully others saw these things and have had maybe similar experiences. And I would like to hear about yours.
I mean, definitely something's going on. Yeah. I mean, you've had some quite interesting sightings there. Your saucer object that you saw. Now, you weren't the only one who saw it. What kind of size would you have said this object was, Skeet?
So it would probably be around, I would say 20, I want to say around 20 feet. It wasn't huge, but I would say, especially, you know, the the lower portion from one end to the neck. I would say probably around 20 feet.
Okay, so I had the dome on top with the white light through the ports, and then below I had lights of orange, yellow, red, blue, green.
That's right. They were all different colors, and the bottom rotated, and it rotated slowly. I mean, it wasn't going, you know, really fast or anything like that, but it was just multicolor lights. And, you know, thinking back on it, it was absolutely beautiful. It was just, like I said, it's one of those things you're looking at it and you're like, am I really seeing this? And I'm so glad that both of us saw it, because if it had just been me, like I said, it was just mind numbing. But again, like I said, no sound, and just literally glided above the treetops.
And no sound?
No sound. At that point in time, I think when we saw it, we turned off the radio and I rolled the window down, and I had the window down because I was trying to keep sight of it. So, you know, I had my head out the window. There was no sound whatsoever. And then, like I said, you know, we lost sight of it for about 7 seconds as we turned on the market, and it was just gone. And I mean, there was enough night sky there to have seen, you know, if it was at the rate of speed that it was moving, there was really no place for it to have gone that we shouldn't have been able to have seen it.
So it vanished quite quickly. So it could have either just shot off at a bit of a high rate of speed, or just maybe just blinked out completely.
Right. Like, I mean, you know, I don't know if it cloaked or what type of technology it had, or if it just took off, you know. And again, like, you know, 7 seconds, it's not a long time, but it can feel like a long time, especially, you know, when you're trying to see the saucer again, right? But again, like I said, there was no place that it could have went at that speed that I would not have been able to have seen it once we made the turn.
I mean, it obviously wanted to be seen, you know, else it wouldn't be showing this whole array of lights.
Right. And, you know, the fact that it traveled all along that ridgeline, crossed the road, and then I'm guessing on the other side of that road, they call it part of the Bloomingdale and Arcadia communities. So, you know, it had to have traveled over that way, and then it crossed back over in front of us, and then was just gone.
And very low as well. It was just skimming the tree line.
Yeah, and they were, I mean, you know, they were pretty tall trees. I'm not going to say that, but it was not, you know, not sequoias or anything like that. So yeah, it was just, and like I said, we could see really good detail on it. I mean, you know, it was that close to us and just quieted right above them, right over 11W.
Putting on a show for you.
I'm glad it did, because I have to say it was something extraordinary to have been able to have seen something like that.
Of course. And this was 2013.
Yep. It was February the 14th, 2013. Easy to remember because it was Valentine's Day.
Of course. And you're out for a meal. Wonderful. Okay. And the videos that you sent me, which sighting was these from?
That was the May 11th, 2022. And that was the same night that, and like I said, if you go online and look up, you know, East Tennessee, strange lights or UFO on May 11th, 2022, you should be able to locate, and there was one really great picture that was taken, but you know, there were just a lot of people who saw it, and you know, suddenly it's supposedly a weather balloon, but you saw in the video that did not act like a weather balloon. The picture that I'm referring to, that I think it was a gentleman took, it definitely looked more saucer shaped, or it was like round lights.
That's very strange, that actually.
It could be totally unrelated to the phenomenon that we saw. It just seemed awfully strange that it happened all on the same night.
Yes, I mean, obviously multiple people were seeing this this object. Yeah, interesting. Yeah, what I'll do is I'll make these videos available to our listeners on the website, so they can click the link below in the description and go have a look at these videos. It's the same as anything with these camera phones. They're always quite hard to get objects on, especially when it's at night and it's from a distance. But, you know, people do their best.
They do. And, you know, I found the very last one, I think, was probably the best one to me, because it almost looked like there was light communication between two of them. You know, it was like they were communicating with each other. And if they were part of the same ship or whatever it was, it was odd. It almost seemed like it was two different things, and they were communicating via light with each other.
Okay. I mean, so people have said before, you know, they say, well, you know, why do these UFOs have lights on there? And I would say, well, it'd be the same reason why we have lights on there, you know, for navigation, communication. You know, this is why we have lights on our planes. So why wouldn't other objects flying around our skies and use lights?
Exactly. And, you know, just and the speed of things, too. You know, when you see the lights and they're moving so fast, not necessarily that, but the one that I was explaining that was just sitting still and it was at dusk and how fast it took off. I mean, it took off like jet speed and then did that bank to the west and was just gone. I mean, this was like within seconds. You know, things like that. It just absolutely, it's mind-numbing. It's like, you know, is that something that we created or is that someone else's technology? What did I just witness?
That's it. You know, some of the reports I get on here of these objects, they're 1 second, gone the next, over the horizon. So, yeah, it certainly makes you wonder, you know, do we have this kind of technology, you know, and speeds? Maybe, but who knows?
Well, until they actually come out with it, we probably wouldn't know, right? But I find it kind of hard to believe that we would have that kind of technology. And then like with the saucer, I mean, why would our military need a saucer? That would make absolutely no sense to me whatsoever. So again, like I said, it's just, I was very happy to have witnessed something like that. It was a little unnerving. I have to tell you, I had a hard time sleeping that night because, you know, the media and you know, we hear also about abductions and things like that, and such a scary thing, you know, when it's dark and the lights are out and you're supposed to go to sleep and you're thinking, what about if they come back? You know, what would they have interest? Why did they suddenly show themselves to us? But as far as I know, nothing happened. No return visits and nothing strange there.
Well, that's good news. Sometimes it's better just to be a spectator, you know, and especially when you live in a rural area. Think to yourself, you know, I'm out in the middle of nowhere. If they just want to put on a show for you every once in a while, then that's fine. I'm sure that's fine with a lot of people.
Yes, we like watching from a distance and wondering.
Wonderful, Skeet. And hopefully, yeah, people may get in contact. People, you know, will hear an episode and say, oh, the lady that was on your day, you know, I live just up the road. I live in Bristol, whatever, you know. So we do get it. But certainly keep us updated if you, you know, if you see anything else. And did you happen to report any of your sightings?
Yes, the one of the saucer, I actually reported that to MUFON. And a gentleman came out and, you know, I went over. You know, he went to where the straightaway, where it had crossed over in front of us. He also came to the house and did a complete interview with me. And he told me about his sighting, you know, and how he got into MUFON, which was really interesting. So, yeah, I did report that one. The May 11th, I did not report that one. And I probably should have, but I saw it so briefly that... And like I said, the video was taken by a friend. She actually got more of a show than I did that night. But yeah, I'm sure, you know, if I go back and look on MUFON, I probably should go back and check that date to see if anyone else had reported it.
Well, yeah, I would. I'm always happy when I hear people that have reported their sightings because so many of these accounts go, you know, unreported. It just means that, you know, people which are searching the databases of either MUFON or the National UFO Reporting Center, then, you know, other ones will come up in the area and, you know, you can triangulate and do research that way. Yeah, so great stuff.
Nick, I so appreciate you having this forum and, you know, where people can come and tell their story. And again, like I said, it's nice to have a voice and, you know, to know that other people are out there experiencing these things. And, you know, it makes you feel a lot less alone to know that others are also, you know, seeing these things and experiencing this.
It is good having a place for people to come share them, you know, so it is super important that people do this. And I think we'll probably find that more people have actually seen things than haven't. We just need more people coming forward.
Yes. And, you know, again, like I said, highly recommend, you know, download an app, you know, for like flights and things like that to where you can rule out, you know, anything man-made known. that helps me a lot because I love to look at the night sky. I love to look at the stars. You know, you'll see something. And, you know, most of the time I can, if I watch it, you can tell it's a plane. You can tell it's a satellite, you know, things like that because of the movement. But if you're still not sure, the apps work great. So you can rule things out.
You're absolutely right. It's the same as my phone. It's just full of apps like the 24-hour radar. That's great, that one is. If you see a light in the sky, check the app, and it may turn out to be a helicopter plane. You never know. Sometimes it won't tell you what it is.
And then we're left to wonder.
And then we're left to wonder. That's right. It's the 5% that, you know, which we're interested in. You know, of course, we all make mistakes. You know, we always see things up in the sky that later turns out to be something else. But, you know, just now and again, we see something and we have no explanation for it.
Like you said, you know, people who have a tendency not to believe until they actually experience something, or to listen and to understand, people are experiencing things, you know, whether it be paranormal, whether it be, you know, light. Whatever, you know, if people are experiencing things. I know I was very lucky because my dad, he was very open-minded. You know, he saw a UFO in Kingsport, as a matter of fact. He was working he worked at a glass plant, and he and some of his coworkers, they were having their lunch outside, and they were just sitting there, and one just comes flying over, you know, just very low, and, you know, they could see it, and it was saucer shaped. And he said it just sat there for a little while, and then it just took off. And he said it was gone so fast. So he had his own experience, you know, and because of that, you know, he was very open-minded to paranormal, and, you know, he believed in Bigfoot and, you know, things like that. So I grew up with that. But, you know, I've got friends that their parents, they might have been very religious, or thinking that, you know, these things can't exist, and that's the way that they were brought up. And then all of a sudden, they have something happen. It's a little chink in that armor, right? You know, to where all of a sudden they're standing back and they're saying, maybe there is a possibility that we're not alone, or, you know, maybe we are just one race, and, you know, maybe there are other things out there. Or they see something or experience something that they just absolutely cannot explain. And I think that, you know, these podcasts and social media sites and things like that are so important because, again, like I said, it's where you can learn, you can read about other people's experiences. And it's just mind numbing how many things there are out there that we just can't explain.
Absolutely. It's good to remain open-minded. I've got a lot of listeners on here which have never seen anything. They desperately want to, you know, they desperately want to see something and experience something. And I always tell them, you know, just be patient, keep watching the skies. Your time will come.
If you watch them long enough, it certainly will, because there's too many weird things out there.
There sure is. And you know what? As the years go on, it seems to get weirder and weirder.
It does. And I think, you know, whether it be paranormal, whether it be hominoids, you know, as we continue to venture more into the forests and the places like that, you know, where before a lot of people, you had to be really dedicated, but all of a sudden, you know, they've built a neighborhood out, and then they're going deeper and deeper into these woods, and all these strange things that happen, and the things that, you know, people see, and whether it be, you know, Bigfoot or UFOs or other types of hominoids and things. So I'm near the Western North Carolina, and we have the Brown Mountain Lights there. Have you heard of the Brown Mountain Lights?
I certainly have.
Okay. So that has been, I guess I was in my early teens. I think I was maybe like 13. The first time my dad took me over there, and it was just, you know, there's this pull off. It was cold. I think it was in like October, and the leaves were down, and it was cold, I remember. And we sit there and literally watch lights jump all over that mountain. And he would look at me and he would be like, are you seeing that? And I was like, yep, I'm seeing that. And then, you know, as soon as I got my driver's license, I was like taking carloads of my buddies over there. And they were all seeing it too. And, you know, even now, I mean, it's been, I guess it's probably been about 5 years or so since the last time we were over there at night. But, you know, you can go over there and most any night you're going to see it. I've never been and not seen something over there. We even went behind the mountain. There's a park back in there, and we drove on a gravel road along the backside of the mountain. And you talk about weird and strange feeling. Nick, I got to tell you, that is a very weird vibe being that close to the mountain. I know that now they've got like, they made like forerunner trails and stuff like that up there. And I don't know that I'd actually want to go onto it because it has such a weird vibe, like you shouldn't be there.
I know there's talks about, you know, it could be that that there's an underground base, reptilians, all of that type stuff, like the Dulce base and all that good stuff. But yeah, I'm very aware of that mountain. As far as I like to watch it from a distance, but I don't ever need to be back over near it again. It's got that weird vibe.
The thing with the Brain Mountain Lights is, I mean, it's something which has been on video. They've taken pictures. Hundreds of, well, thousands of people have probably experienced these lights. And I think the Brain Mountain Lights, I think the earliest report was, I think 1900 was the earliest. So it's been reported for since way back.
And even before that, you know, the local Indian tribes, you know, they did not go onto that mountain. and they knew about the lights. My parents actually met a gentleman who, they went into like a country store and they met this gentleman. He was sitting outside and he told them that he had went onto the mountain when he was younger, and that they took him on a spaceship and he went to Venus. And he said that they had, you know, once you got past those, there's like all these, it's really hot and there's all these gases, but there's a way that they can get into where their place was. And I think he wrote a book about it. And I remember my, of course, this was years later. My mom was like, you know, we met this guy and he said he went to Venus and all this stuff. And, but, you know, people, they've had experiences over there. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know if it's a base inside of there or if it's something ancient, but I can tell you it's one of those places where I don't need to go on it. I don't need to be that close to it.
Yeah, they're probably, you know, whatever is going on over there, they're probably just happy being left alone. You know, you can view them from afar, no problem, but, you know, yeah, leave us alone.
Yep, and I'll gladly leave them alone and just watch from the distance, from the overlook.
If I'm ever in that part of the world, we will come and visit and take a look at these lights. I've been hearing about them for years and years, and I think I've even had guests on here which have seen it.
Absolutely. And if you find yourself over this way, and we can take you on the grand tour.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Wonderful, Skeet.
That sounds great. And until then, yeah, I'm going to keep listening to your podcast and just being amazed. And again, thank you.
Take care of yourself, and I'll speak soon to you.
All right. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Skeet. Bye for now.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
Hello, Brandon. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. It is great to have you with us today, and you're calling from the state of Ohio.
That's correct. Central Ohio.
Wonderful. Okay. Now, Brandon, you have multiple sightings and experiences to share. Would you like to start at the beginning, please?
Sure. I feel like maybe I need a preface. I started listening to your show like November, December of 2022, and it's absolutely a fantastic show. I love how open-minded it is. It's the perfect opportunity for me to start to share my story. I'm in my late 40s, and my first experience is when I was six. And, you know, I just had one in here in January. So they've been, you know, throughout my entire life has been quite a bit of high strangeness. I don't think my story is necessarily as exciting as some of these other listeners, so I'll preface it with that. But nonetheless, I feel like there are a lot of people out in the world that have similar stories to me that are somewhere in between, that just keep seeing these and being attached to this phenomena. So I finally kind of had the last few years this opportunity to kind of want to come forward and be a little bit more open about these stories, because it's had such a stigma to it. So I think when I was about six, 1980, I believe. The reason I know it's 1980 is I remember I had this little basketball game, and I looked online and I saw the year it came out, because I got it right when it came out. And it was 1979, and it was a cold winter. I believe it was probably January or February, and I'm driving in our old station wagon with my family. My mother and father are in the front seat, and my two sisters are in the back seat on the left. And I'm sort of playing my basketball game in the right seat. And I'm looking out the window on the right, coming home from my grandparents' house, and there's this bright light in the sky. It almost looked like a satellite, but bigger, really bright. And it started zipping around in this erratic kind of way, almost like a ping pong. And then it just shot out of nowhere out of the sky, right? And I'm telling my sisters what I saw, and they don't really believe. You know, I think I was a very imaginative child. I loved Star Wars and The Bit, and I was, you know, an ADHD kid. So I don't think they necessarily took me too seriously. And that was that. I just sort of let it go and moved on. And then in 1993, my first week of going to college, I was leaving sort of a get-together event. The first week or two of school was a lot of these mingle groups and kind of getting to know yous. And I was going up to my dorm on the third floor. And I sat down in the little walkway, like there's a stairwell that goes up through the four floors of this large living quarters. And I was sitting down with a beer, and I know I shouldn't have had a beer because I wasn't 21 yet, but I had one. And I'm looking at the sky towards Washington, D.C., and I'm in Baltimore, downtown Baltimore. And it's a city, so there's still a lot of light. So you're not going to necessarily see as many stars as you would out in the country, but you're still seeing a good amount of stars that night. And I saw something really similar than when I was six. It was this bright light. And I thought it was a satellite because it was sort of tracking like a satellite. And I'm one of the science nerds that I'm always looking at satellites. I'm tracking them all the time. Even to this day, I've got my, you know, my SkyView app. I'm checking to see if they're satellites. And it just stopped. Like it literally just stopped moving. And then it started moving around. And then after, I want to say, under 10 seconds, I mean, it was 1993. It's, you know, my memory of it's getting a little bit faded. But it just, again, shot straight up into the sky like a bullet. And that was that. And, excuse me, it's my first week at school. So I'm not going to go tell people, hey, did you see that UFO? Hey, I saw a UFO. I mean, I'm not going to make any friends at college with a story like this. So I literally just kept it to myself. I did mention it to my one friend who was working in DC, who just happened to be a satellite tracker. He works for some government agency I can't really discuss, but he tracks satellites. And I did mention it to him, and I went into a little bit of detail, you know, the following week. And he said it definitely wasn't a satellite. So, and then I just sort of packed it away. I kept it to myself. I didn't mention it to my family, my friends. It's just something I lived with. You know, I do want to bring this up because I heard on a couple of following podcasts that this sort of high strangeness that follows you when you see these sightings. And about a few months later, I kept seeing this ghost around the living quarters in Baltimore. And it was this tall man, about 6 foot, and he kind of had what looked like pajamas on, and it was all white, almost like smoke. You could see right through him, like literally just see through him. And he had this real serious look on his face, kind of looking down, walking through the hallways. And I had seen him a couple of times in a couple months span. And I remember in that time frame, I went over to my friend Kate's across the way for a dinner party. And I was discussing this, and I didn't bring up the UFO, but I did bring up this ghost. I was like, I keep seeing this. And they had described the exact same figure. So I knew I wasn't like going crazy, you know, 18 years old, am I okay? You know, is this normal? So everyone else, or not say everyone, but many people that I had talked to in the living quarters had seen the same thing. So I never really put the two and two together, but I just bring it up because I did hear that, you know, once you start seeing these things, these other, you know, high strangeness events start to kind of collect in your life, which makes complete sense with me because I have a whole life full of peculiar events. And I'm a pretty down-to-earth scientific person. I'm very skeptical of everything. I'm not on the, I want to believe, I believe everything that I see is a ghost or a spaceship or what have you. I'm definitely not in that camp. I'm always trying to, you know, go through my checkboxes. Is it this? Is it this? Is it this? Right? It wasn't any of that. So I kind of, at that point in my life, I was like, okay, there's something happening here that doesn't look like it's human. It's not a comet. It's not a satellite. That's different. And I think from that moment on, for the rest of my life, I just had this, there's something different happening here, right? Something's not right. It just sort of opened my mind. It was this paradigm shift that I just couldn't really escape. So I was sort of in this club. I'm like, okay, I just see the world different now. You know, I'm more open-minded. I kind of believe at this point. I don't necessarily want to believe, but I've seen these a few times. And, you know, it is what it is. So I you know, speed up to 2017 when this article came out. And it was exciting. I was like, finally, maybe this is a time when this is going to kind of go public. Maybe the rest of the world is ready for a story like this. They're ready for whatever this phenomena is. And then the pandemic hit after that, and I was just thinking about it. And finally, I watched a couple of documentaries on the UFO phenomena, and I really felt compelled to finally connect with MUFON and tell him my 1993 story. I didn't really go into the 1980 story because at that point I was six and it's an old memory and, you know, it is what it is. And that was really good. That was the first step of kind of getting this off my chest. But it never occurred to me that by doing so, all of a sudden, the phenomena would just sort of re-arrive in my life. Like, there it is. So in June of 2022, June 22nd to be exact, around 7 p.m., my six-year-old daughter and I are home, and my wife is out of town on a business trip. And I'm in one room, and my daughter is in her room playing, and she's screaming for me, like, you know, get in here, get in here. And it's probably about 15 seconds before I'm able to get into her room. I'm, you know, wrapping something up. So I quickly get in there, and her room looks into the back of our house. We've got a really long backyard, right? And to the right is an open window with the blinds completely up. And the back window is also open with all the blinds, you know, open and drawn. And she sees this little metallic orb floating from the north, going south through our neighbor's backyard. And she just sort of describes it as floating almost like this balloon about 20 or 30 feet from the ground, like not a mechanical straight line. It's kind of meandering, right? And it's got this glowing, fuzzy plasma around it. And she described it as sort of like a smushed orb, more like an American football, right? With this Saturn-like ring horizontally around it. And, you know, she described it as about 2 feet, 2.5 feet. And when it got to our backyard, maybe about 20 feet behind this really large silver maple of ours, it stops and it hovers there for a couple of seconds and then shoots straight up into the sky at bullet speeds, like unbelievable speeds. And at that point, I'm walking into the room. I'm not able to get a lock on it visually, but I see something move super fast, almost like a bright line just going straight up. CGI, but in real life. So I don't really see how she describes it. So I had her draw it to me. We talked about it for about 10 or 15 minutes. She was pretty panicked though. She's about to turn seven now. At the time, she was just turning six. She was pretty panicked. Like, what is that? Can you help me understand what that is? And, you know, the last thing I want to do is tell her my stories. I really just wanted to kind of put this to bed, get this away from her so she's not worried. You know, she's already having a hard time because her mom's not home that week. So the next day, June 23rd, almost the exact same time, 6:20, we're walking up the street to her school to meet with her friends. Like last summer, once a week, all of her school friends would get together and we'd do these big play dates on the playground. So we get there at about 6:20. This is about three blocks away. Let me look at the map here. I think it's like kind of just to the west, about three blocks. And we're on the playground. The kids start playing. The parents are talking. And I start seeing this glowing orb literally kind of move around the sky to the east, right? And we're also in an area where there's lots of jets. I mean, 737s are coming through. Not only do we have our local airport with a lot of the planes and jets coming through, we're also in a place where there's lots of planes flying over our city, going north to south, east to west, into Chicago, New York, Atlanta. So at any given time, our sky has 20 planes in it. You know, we also have a hospital helicopter coming in and out constantly, right? So lots of that. You've got a smaller airport with Cessnas coming in and out. So I'm really aware of all the air traffic. You know, I'm a aeronautical and science nerd. So I know what planes are. I know what drones are. I fly drones. So, and I'm going through my list, like, what is that? I was thinking, is it a, you know, is it tree pollen or something glinting in the, you know, so I'm trying to ignore it. I'm trying to explain it away, but it keeps disappearing and showing up for like 15 or so minutes, right? And eventually the kids decide they want to go to the other side of the playground because there's some bigger things to play on. So all the parents, you know, we've got our beers and what have you, and we're walking to the other side of the playground, and all the dads are talking about baseball and what have you. And I'm trying to pretend I like baseball so I can fit in with the parents, you know, doing my best at the time to really fit in. So we walk over probably about 100 yards and sit down at another area. And that's when the orb starts to show up again, but right above my head. And at this point, it's probably a half an hour later. And I've got video of this, which I'm going to send over to you so you can share these out if you'd like to. And that's when it starts to really come up close and kind of show itself. And it's hovering there and it's staying up there for like 20 seconds and then it'll kind of fade out. And the only way I can describe it is it's like a bright, bright star, but it's at 3,000 feet and it's stationary and it's kind of hovering around. And airplanes don't do that. Now, I'll give you this. It's around 6:20 to 7:20 within that hour frame. So at the time, I'm seeing a lot of light glinting off planes. So I'm fully aware of what that looks like and what that does, especially when a 737 or 767 kind of tilts a little bit during that time of day. You'll capture a lot of that sun. It was not that. It was literally about 3,000 feet above me. And it was glowing, and it was kind of glowing in and out. And I'm looking at the parents, hoping that they see it, because I'm not going to bring it up to the parents, because I'm trying to fit in and look like a normal down-to-earth dad. I'm not going to say, hey, do you guys see that UFO? Because then I'm going to be like the nutty dad, you know? And maybe it's my age. I'm a little bit more cautious of the phenomena. And I'm hoping the younger generation's a little bit more open-minded. But here I am looking at this thing, and I finally, at this point, grab my phone, my iPhone, and I start videotaping these. And I'm trying to do it in a way that the parents don't really see me videotaping these. But I'm glad I did, right? And then it disappears. And I want to say 5 or 10 minutes later, it starts showing up really high. And then it's way, way northeast at that point. And then it starts following this plane. And I start taping that too. And it's literally underneath a plane following it to the west at this point. And I can't tell how far underneath the plane it is from my perspective, because it's pretty high at that point. It's not a plane landing. It's probably 20 or 30,000 feet, but it's tracking this plane and then it disappears. And at that point, they kind of just settle down and they disappear. And I'm floored at this point. So here we are now. I saw this streak in our backyard the day before. My daughter's describing it to me, and I'm taking her seriously, you know, because I've seen these when I was 6 and when I was younger, but I also didn't want to, like, make her nervous. And I was, well, she's 6, she's imaginative, maybe she's, you know, what have you. And I want to preface here, I've never talked to her about UFOs. She doesn't see them on TV. I protect her quite a bit. I keep her pretty, you know, in a bubble to keep her safe. But seeing this the next day was shocking. It was like, okay, what she saw was definitely real. And this must have been something related to that. Whatever this was, though, was definitely bigger. It wasn't a little 2-foot orb. It was much bigger, right? So at this point, you know, we head home. I text my wife, who's in D.C. on a business trip still. And I'm telling her this story, you know, what my daughter saw before, what we saw. I even texted her a couple of the photos and the video, and she is she's honestly just in denial. She doesn't want to talk about this. It stresses her out. She doesn't want me talking about it. Make sure you don't bring it up to, you know, my daughter. So after that, you know, a couple weeks later, we go on a vacation. Things sort of settle down. And then in August 24th of 2022, the same summer, they reappear again. And my wife and I walk up the street. At this point, she had started her first week of school. And it's great weather. So anytime we get the opportunity to just walk up the street and pick her up from school with nice weather, we take the chance to take the walk. So we pick her up. We're walking back towards the house. And this is the sighting that was really kind of the most intense. And we've gotten about two blocks, and I turn right. And all of a sudden, I look up and I see a whole cluster of blackbirds. And they're all over our neighborhood all the time. There's the ravens, there's some hawks, and then there's like these other types of really big blackbirds. And they are going in a frenzy, you know, flying normal. And then all of a sudden, they're in this panic. And so I look up. And at the same time, there is this Southwest 737 descending into our neighborhood. And it kind of does this little U where it'll come through. I don't know how high it is. It's under 10,000 feet. And it does a loop, and then it lands into the airport on the other side of the city. And underneath the plane, one of these orbs, the exact same orb that I saw in July, just appears out of nowhere. It starts as this little dot, and it grows into the orb. And one thing I hate, I'm sort of cautious of talking about, is kind of the woo side of the phenomena, but I feel like I'm doing a disservice to the story if I don't bring it up. And then that is that you just, or I know to look at these things. Like, it sort of like pulls you in, like it's talking to you. But for me, it's not in words. It's sort of like a knowing, right? Look here, we're here. And it's there. And that's a hard thing for me to sort of digest and talk about, because I'm such a scientific person. You know, I try my hardest to talk about these and understand this and nuts and bolts. But there's definitely more to this than that. And it's something I'm trying to wrap my head around. So we continue walking, and it starts to track with this towards the north, right? And my daughter skipping, as she always does, she's about 15 feet ahead of us. And I tap my wife on the shoulder quietly and point at it and tell her, there it is. That's what we've been seeing. And could see it in her face. She was shocked, because this is the first time she's ever seen anything like this. She's a skeptic. She doesn't change. This kind of stuff concerns her and is kind of bothers her. And she is floored. There it is. So we continue walking towards the house a little bit quicker, because I kind of want to get my new binoculars. I'd purchased these 10x50 binoculars after that July sighting. I was like, I want to be really prepared. These are really nice, pretty expensive, high optic binoculars. And at this point in my life, I'm carrying them everywhere I go, because I keep seeing these things. So we turn the next corner and turn left, and the thing just sort of disappears. You know, I'm watching it. It's over the trees. It's about 3,000 feet, I would say. And then it disappears. And I walk a block further, and then I get this feeling to look again. And then these bees start to chase me and sting me. And I'm stung a couple of times on my right hand. Like, you can't make this up, you know? And I just get this, like, feeling, look, look, look. And I look back up, and it reappears. And it starts to track again, and it stops over our house, which is about a block away. And I turn to the right. And at this point, my wife was like, go ahead and walk fast. And we're trying not to make a scene of this, because I don't want my daughter to be stressed, right? So I run into our house. I grab my 10x50 binoculars. I grab my, you know, pretty high powered DSLR mirrorless camera that's got a 200 millimeter lens on it. And I grab the camera, the DSLR, and get it honed in on this. And I have video footage of this. And what I was finding was, unfortunately, I don't feel like the video off of my DSLR was really that much better than what I was getting on my iPhone 14. So I kept trying. And my neighbor is out in the front yard. And I'm, do you see this? She sees it. I've got another neighbor that's walking down who knows my neighbor, who then stops to look at it. I've got my wife looking at this. I've got my daughter. And we're all standing there in this cluster at our house in the driveway, looking at this orb. And then it starts to descend down towards us. I want to say easily 1,000 feet. And it's hovering there and kind of moving around for about 20 minutes. I've got video of it both on my iPhone and my Canon DSLR full frame. And then when I look in the binoculars, my neighbor and I are both able to zoom in on this. And I drew a picture of this in Illustrator. So I've got a, you know, kind of a representation of what I saw. It was this white, but not really white, but like metal capsule, like a Tic Tac, like literally like what you're seeing on the news. It was as cliche as that. It was literally this tic tac. And when you're looking at this thing with your with the naked eye, without the camera or the binoculars, it's got this haze around it, almost like it's spinning. It looks like it's spinning around, you know, like a spinning weather balloon, but it wasn't a weather balloon. And when you zoom in on it, you can see that it's this like electric plasma that's just going crazy around this thing. And you can see through it and you see this literally this capsule. Now, I can only imagine if it were down on the ground, it would be at least 25 feet. You know, I'm guessing it was maybe the half the size of a 737. It was big and it was stationary. It wasn't moving or anything. Like it would kind of move down towards with the plasma, but it wasn't moving at all the way the naked eye was seeing it. So, and it stayed there for about 20 minutes. And then right before all of our eyes, it dilated down to zero and disappeared. And that was that. So that was our August sighting. And at that point, my wife finally saw it. And now I think she's still dealing with what she saw. Like she went from a complete skeptic to, Brandon, don't talk about this stuff, to I get it. I understand. So, and then from, I want to say September to November, I kept seeing a lot of interesting things, but I couldn't capture it. Like at the end of September, going into October, I was walking my dog and there was this sort of glowing thing that then turned into like a black, it almost looked like a bowling ball. And that, but it was really linear. Like it wasn't meandering around. It was super linear and it went a couple thousand feet and disappeared. I was not able to get anything on film of that. I did not have my phone with me. So there were these things that I was seeing. And if I'm kind of unsure of what it was, or if I don't have footage of it, you know, I'll kind of put it on record, but I'm not going to, you know, roll it out and say it's this, but it was high strangeness. And I'm going to, you know, it is what it is. And then in January 15th, 2023 is the last sighting that I had. It was this exact same orb, only it was maybe a little bit more towards the east, but it was, once again, it's in this same 1 mile diameter of our house, all of these sightings. And it was moving pretty quickly towards the north. And I got a picture of it. I ran in to get my binoculars so I could look at it. When I got back out, I went to go lift the binoculars and it just disappeared. It just disappeared. I wasn't able to get any more track on it. But you know, I also want to mention the kind of the high strangeness and the woo side of this. There was this need to go outside to do the recycling, but it was like this magnetic pull to go outside and look. And I don't understand why this is. It's pretty strange. And the last thing I want to mention is the sighting February 10th. And I was doing my freelance and I just had this, I want to call them knowings. I don't hear any voices ever. It's just this like instant, it's this, go do this, look at this. It's the only way I can describe it. And I kept seeing the orbs, like it was whatever this phenomena was, I was thinking about it. And then I had this need to go downstairs and write some stuff down because I was about to make lunch. It was, you know, around lunchtime. So I grab a post-it, I open it up, I write February 10th, 2023, 12:55 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I write a couple of bullets. You know, this major story is about to come out this afternoon. It's really going to catch people off guard. It's going to create a lot of conversation and a lot of chaos this weekend. And in my mind, I'm thinking about this phenomena. I'm not writing exactly that down because if my wife sees it, she's going to think I'm nuts, right? Within an hour later, that is when the U.S., you know, White House came out and discussed these shoot downs of these UAP, whatever they were. I'm not going to say what they were. But whatever this phenomena was, wanted to tell me that they're aware of this. There's something bigger here than what we understand. I took a picture of the post-it, and then I swiped up and took a picture of that. So it's timestamped just for record. I'm happy to share that with you. I knew there was going to be a time when there would be a lot of scrutiny around this. So I wanted to timestamp this note so people would believe me because I'm not crazy. I'm completely sane. It was jarring. That whole weekend was just chaos. And that following week ensued. And it's interesting how the story has just disappeared. Like they, you know, the government won't talk about it. They don't want to, you know, talk any further about it. They really just want to brush this under the rug. But I had this feeling that sort of there's something more to this than what we understand. I don't know what the phenomena is. I spent most of my life trying to understand this from a nuts and bolts perspective, but I think it's a lot more than that. I don't know why, but I'm somehow attached to this, whether I want to or not. Like I'm literally attached to this phenomena, you know, and no matter what I try to do, if I try to walk away from it, it just sort of comes back and includes me for some reason. I've never seen or met any of these entities in real life other than peculiar dreams that will pop up, you know. My wife started having the dreams. I want to say about 4 or 5 days after that February downing, she had this vivid dream of a tic-tac capsule floating down to her and tilting 45 degrees. And the metal of the craft went invisible. It kind of disappeared in a certain section where she could see this humanoid that started talking to her. She describes it as this thing, entity that looked very, very human, like black hair. I mean, she didn't want to describe any more of it, and I didn't want to press her because, as I had mentioned, this kind of stuff stresses her out. Now, that could just be her way of dealing with this. Like, it could be completely unrelated, but I do bring it up because, you know, that's been my life. And, you know, I don't know if this is ultra-dimensional, interdimensional. Are they some kind of craft from our solar system? Is there some spiritual? I mean, I'm not a religious person, I'm going to be honest, you know, but I'm a very spiritual man. And I've got what I call my table, and I put all of the possibilities on this table. And until I can disprove what this phenomena is, a lot of these things stay on the table. I really try to avoid conspiracy theories like this. You know, everyone's talking about blue beam and all this stuff. I think that's bogus. I mean, I've got to be honest. I think a lot of our governments have issues. It doesn't put me past them to try to do things like this. Like, I mean, you saw what they tried to do in Cuba in the 60s. So, I mean, but I also don't give them enough credit to do something like that. So if anyone's listening, I think that's kind of bogus. You know, I don't think the government's trying to take over everything and what have you. I do think they cover stuff up. I do think there's something really major here that's life-changing for humanity. You know, I think they know it and they're trying to cover it up because it's going to be such a paradigm shift for the world. I don't think they're trying to take over the world. It seems like we're at a phase in humanity where something is going to change. And I'm hoping this younger generation, like my daughter's generation, is more open-minded and ready for this change. I'll leave it at that.
Problem with this subject is, you know, you got some people in one camp which are very physical, like you said, nuts and bolts, and then you got another camp which is, you know, the more woo side.
I want to believe. That I call them that. And I think that's okay too. I guess I'm somewhere in between.
Yeah, and that's the best place to be. You know, you've always got to remember is, you know, sometimes we see things and, you know, we do make mistakes, you know, when it comes to angles and height and colors and distance and all that kind of stuff. You know, we've all done it.
Yep.
So you should always criticize, you know, what you're seeing. You know, see if there's an explanation for something before we jump to any conclusions.
Yeah.
But you're often find in this subject, you know, you do have the physical side, but there's another side to it which people just kind of like to ignore, like the woo side. But what really people should be doing is have you know, a foot in both camps, you know, be completely in the middle, you know, because the thing with science is, you know, you're forever learning. It's there's no exact science. There's new information coming out constantly, so something which we don't think is possible and is, you know, is probably a bit woo, chances are it probably is possible. We just don't understand it yet. So yeah, it's important to be right in between.
That's a good point.
Telepath is a weekly digital newsletter filled with the latest paranormal news, trending topics, and fresh articles from some of the most popular critical thinkers in the community today. Stay informed on your favorite paranormal podcasts and live streaming talk shows. Interact with the Telepath and upload your paranormal story or pics. It could be featured in an upcoming edition. Sign up right now for the free Telepath newsletter at paranormal.radio. That's paranormal.radio.
You know what I've learned, because you know I study science a lot, is that the traditional Einsteinian perspective of physics is great, and it works in our world, you know, in our space-time continuum. But the second you start to dive into quantum mechanics, everything changes. In fact, our standardized physics changes at the speed of light. I mean, it all completely melts away and shifts. So I mean, anything's possible at the quantum level. So even the crazy woo stuff could have a perfectly normal scientific explanation to it. We just don't have the know-how yet as a human species to really understand what's causing that from that quantum scientific level. So and that's why I try to keep even the woo on the table, because it may seem like magic to us now, but there could be, you know, a perfectly scientific explanation to it we just don't understand yet, right? And I want to add that, you know, after that August one, I was super determined to get everything off the table. I called the weather service that covers the whole Midwest, and I gave them the coordinates, the time of day, and I was able to get through to a gentleman that was really pretty nice. He gave me about 15 or 20 minutes of his time, and he went through with me, said, nope, that's not a weather balloon. We didn't have anything out that day. We wouldn't even put anything up in the air with this weather. That'd just be a waste of money. It's not that. I'm very curious what this was. He gave me a contact at NASA. I contacted NASA. The next day, they responded with like one or two sentences. And I'm just going to paraphrase this. It was something like, we are currently not in the position to discuss this topic. Thank you for your interest, something, something, something about NASA. That was compelling. Just them not saying something and being that matter of fact about it kind of says something in itself. Take it for what you want. I checked with NASA. You know, I checked the plane tracking apps. They weren't planes, not a weather balloon. So I did my due diligence.
These objects, balls, these tic-tac shape, there is an influx of people seeing these. Not 3 months ago, me and my wife saw exactly the same thing from our back garden. This thing was up there for a good 45 minutes.
Yeah, every day.
Every day, you know, I'm getting an email from someone saying they've seen this. They're seeing this. Yeah. We know it's not satellites. We know they're not planes. We know they're not helicopters. We know they're not balloons. What are they? And whatever you're seeing, Brandon, it certainly seems to have a bit of an interest in you.
It does. It's curious. Because I keep seeing them. It could be a coincidence that they're just picking my neighborhood. Maybe they're like checking on, they're interested in this neighbor that's like two blocks away. And I just happen to be seeing them too. Who knows, right? But I keep getting these knowings. They're talking to me. And I know that sounds crazy and woo. Because I'm in the middle of that space, right? I'm middle of skeptic and want to believe. But you can't deny that feeling when something says, go outside and look. And then it's there. So it's curious. But, you know, it used to be you'd see these things like once every few months, you'd see a post, and then once every few weeks. And now I'm seeing them almost daily, this exact same thing, whatever these are, they're here.
And yeah, there is definitely an increase. I mean, this show is busy when it comes to emails and people reporting.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be getting more and more every day. You know, just today I've had an email and they've sent me about 100 various different images of things up in the sky. You know, you say about a knowing that, or a kind of like a command to go outside again, where people would be, you know, maybe sat watching TV, reading a book, whatever, and they just have the idea, you know, just go outside.
Yeah. And that's partly why I decided to come on and talk about this, because I think there are a lot of people like me that are on the fence, but they just keep getting these feelings. And, you know, it'd be nice to just have some awareness out there, some normalization of this topic, so they don't feel like they're shy of discussing it with people around them. You know, I think it's a good time to kind of come out of the closet and discuss this phenomena as a society, because everybody's seeing them. My neighbors are seeing them. Everyone's seeing them. You know, people that have no interest in this topic are suddenly in this experience.
Certainly the press over the last few years, when it comes to, you know, the government releasing the videos and all that, that has kind of helped people which were kind of thinking everyone was nut jobs for seeing them. Now that it's coming out in official capacity, they're saying, okay, well, you know, we'll have a look into this a little bit more. Is it this interest? And hence, you know, the whole UAP thing, everyone's saying UAP now, when really it should be UFO. it sounds better.
It's just a UFO. Yeah, because that's what everything I've known. I think the UAP is just what the government trying to rebrand it. And maybe it's for the better. Maybe there's some positives to it. Like, I think the government, you know, and the media want to discuss it, but they somehow, for some reason, feel a need to rebrand it, right? So whatever makes them feel better.
Exactly. As long as people are talking about it, that's the important thing. And what I was finding on this show was that people, you know, were coming on and sharing their experiences, but they would leave out certain details, you know, talking a little bit about the knowing that you were getting. So they would say they would share their experiences when it would come to things that would be accepted. Mm-hmm. All right. But they would kind of miss out and then tell me in confidence the bits which they didn't think were just too crazy. But unfortunately, you know, they are connected.
So
it's important that people, you know, fair enough, you know, share your accounts, but also share the things which don't make sense to you.
Yeah, we're seeing all kinds of crazy, like woo things, like bright lights in our house, you know, just strange stuff. You know what I'm very in tune with right now is how the wildlife react to these things. Like I'm very sensitive to how the animals are reacting around me now after having this experience, because it seems like they kind of work through them as well somehow.
Yeah, we always look at the wildlife, always look at the behavior of your pets and the wildlife mm-hmm. outside. You know, you hear stories where people are hiking, you know, and they can hear the wildlife, you know, they can hear the crickets, they can, you know, they can hear the animals foraging around. But then as soon as that complete silence, mm-hmm. you know, then they have these feelings and then quite possibly end up having an experience of some sort. So yeah, always pay attention to, you know, what's going on, the sights and sounds, because there is definitely an environmental effect.
Yeah. So, you know, the last one I saw was what, January 15th. I've actually started a log. I'm calling it the UAP log. I've built it in this PDF, and every time something happens, I'm literally just logging all this stuff, because it seems to just continue. It's interesting. And I've got no doubt that these things are just going to keep showing themselves. So,
you know, your last experience, chances are it won't be your final one. And especially as now you've incorporated your wife into these experiences and now she's having these dreams.
Yeah. You know, I've got mixed feelings about that. You know, I've got, you know, my daughter who's about to turn 7. And I just love her to death. It kind of, yeah, I'm kind of curious if this is sort of going to attach itself to her as well, and what that means for her life, you know.
I'd probably suggest doing what you're doing, you know. And she's probably at that age where, you know, it's not really of an interest in any case.
Yeah, yeah.
But I might add that your wife's dream is actually identical to someone else I had have the same dream past episode.
Okay, I'll try to, maybe you can send me that link to which one that is.
Yeah.
I'll listen to it. And I've only been able to get about 6 of your episodes in so far. So I've got this week off. So what I'm going to do is maybe do a deep dive and have a listen to a lot of these great stories.
Then they keep on coming, Brandon. They keep on coming.
Yeah. Yeah. She described this humanoid in this, and it was a dream. This is not a real life thing, right? In her dream, she says it floated down and it tilted and it opened up. And she says, now I know this kind of sounds funny, but this is the best analogy I have. She said it kind of looked like Trent Reznor, like almost like a Trent Reznor with long hair, but just a little bit different, not like 90% human, sort of, if that makes sense, but superhuman, and was discussing stuff with her about the earth and things that are happening and so and so. And honestly, I just didn't press her more about it because I know that she, you know, this stuff really just puts her in a panic. It's, you know, so that's about all I know about it. Now, when they show up in my dreams, I don't have visuals. It's like I'm blacked out. All I have is these conversations and these sort of knowings and real foggy stuff, but it's complete black. I don't know why.
Yeah, certainly interesting. Have you approached your wife and asked if she had any past experiences in her childhood?
I have not. That might be a good time to discuss it with her, though.
Maybe over a glass of wine, you know, choose the right time.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, you know, this subject, sometimes they don't want to really address it in any way, push it aside. So I'd probably with caution. But the good thing is she told you about his dream. So that is, you know, that's one thing.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, listeners out there, I mean, it's interesting. It's this is pretty real. You've got someone here who's, you know, more, maybe a little bit more on the skeptical side, who's 100%. I understand this is real at this point. I'm not going to waste my life with questioning it, because I've had this procession of experiences up to January that just has sort of changed me. You know, it's a paradigm shift. And now I think I'm going to spend the next couple of months just sort of trying to figure out what do I do with all this? How do I unpack this? What does this mean going forward? I think there are a lot of people like us that are so, we've been so taught to feel like this shouldn't be talked about for so many years. A part of the government that I think they did it on purpose. They wanted everyone to stay away from this as far as possible. And I think the general consensus, right, is that's got to change, you know. So it's probably a good thing, you know, especially scientists and some of, you know, government officials, what have you. You never know. You might start beginning a flood of these people, you know.
And is it already started? I had another scientist guy on. I think he was a physics professor. And he said, you know, I'm not interested in this subject at all. I came across your podcast completely by mistake. A colleague actually sent it to me. And I had to listen. And then I had to listen to some more. And it went on from there. And he goes, and I'm starting to think that there is a very serious side to this that needs looking at and investigating more. So, you know, you have this guy who, you know, has a background in science that has no interest in it, and now he's kind of looking at it with in a different light, you know, with different eyes.
Yeah, I've gone through phases, like chapters. What is that? Curious to, oh, it's got to just be this, or, you know, I'm just mistaken, it's this, and you know, but I keep seeing the same thing, and it just keeps tracking with me. And look, between 1993 and 2002, I had no sightings, like nothing, just. I just blocked it out. I have focused on my career, very successful. And then 2017, I'm opening my mind back up to what this is. And it just comes back to you, whether or not you want it or not, you know. But I'd like to see science take it more seriously, because I think there's like a next chapter. I mean, let me put it to you this way. I love Einstein, and man was brilliant, you know. But I sort of feel like humanity said, well, he said this. And then they just stopped. And we've accepted the standardized physics based off of Einsteinian thinking. And now we just want to, because we're humans, we do this. We're like, that's it. We're going to follow that path. And we're not going to deviate because we don't like change. And I think there's more to the universe than what we've uncovered so far. He was a great step. And I think there's more to uncovering, like I said, the quantum side of science. It's, I mean, it is mind-bending what it can do. I don't know if these things are interdimensional, ultra-dimensional, who knows what. But there's got to be something attached to that, because even with our best technology, even in 500, 1,000 years, we're still not going to be able to get to the other side of even our own galaxy. So,
I mean, of course, we have, you know, we have these models in science, but a lot of the inventions that have taken us forward, you know, a lot of were all ideas, and they were ridiculed. You know, these scientists were ridiculed for having these ideas. And for now, look at us, you know, how much we have jumped just in the last few years. I mean, just look at Tesla, for instance, you know. So I think it's important to think outside the box, because that is the way we are developing now. And things are now speeding up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I appreciate your time. And it's good to finally kind of just get this off my chest. Aside from that knowing, like, I just sort of feel like I need to tell the story, whatever that is. It gets me out of my comfort zone, but I also feel compelled to talk about this.
Can be liberating as well, you know, especially when you keep it inside and you can't really tell people around you. But rest assured, you know, there are many, many others that are going for exactly the same thing.
All right. Well, thank you for your time.
Brandon, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for our listeners.
All right. Take care.
Take care yourself, Brandon. All right. Enjoy the rest of your day, and I will speak soon to you.
Bye.
That's all for this week. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com, or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website at ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Skeet and Brandon for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe. And keep watching the skies. Goodbye.